Well, anyway, Ms. Marion, we just want to thank you again for allowing us to have this conversation with you, and we're so happy to be here with you. And I want to start off by saying that we are in New Orleans, Louisiana. Today is April 16, 2010. Yes, and I'm April Cadell.
I'm Keita Weaver.
Lakia Williams.
Brittany Daigle Leonard.
Mia Dunlap.
Anissa Douglas.
We're in Treme.
Yes.
Treme, yes. Yeah. In the Treme. Miss Marion, well, just want to find your full name.
Marion Teresa Cole.
Is there a special nickname that people call you?
Brit, because I was redheaded and born with gray eyes.
Wow.
As I got older, 6 years old, my eyes changed. Even the doctor said today, see the blue issue right here.
Is nicknaming a part of the New Orleans culture?
A nickname?
Mm-hmm.
You mean like what they call?
Mm-hmm. Giving people nicknames.
Oh, yeah, it's a known for nickname. Mm-hmm. Yes. Most of the time people know you more by the nickname, they know of you more than your real name. Mm-hmm. That's what it does, all kinds of names. My children are names.
Did you like your nickname?
Did I like what?
Did you like that name that people gave you, Brent?
My father gave me.
Oh, okay.
Stop.
Can you describe for us in detail the community you grew up in here in New Orleans?
I grew up in the 7th Ward. I was born July 7, 1928, born by midwife. My mother had 6 children, died with the 7th in childhood. And my brother raised us till all of us got married.
Wow.
Never did marry no more.
Wow.
What's a memorable story that you have about your mother?
The most thing I love about my mother?
A fond memory.
In memory?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is a sad memory. The day she was dying, I was looking at her and she was holding her hands out. And she went to the hospital. Within an hour, she died. Childbirth. Her and the boy died. And I always remember that we was holding her skirt around carnival time. And she said, come on, let's go. And we walked from the 7th Ward to Canal Street to see the carnival parade. And my mother was a lady, she never drank, she always made cakes. And you ever heard of Anisette? Anisette, you ever heard of Anisette, the sweet drink?
Yeah.
Well, she made different colors of Anisette. And that's what she would make on Sundays. And sit down and make homemade ice cream for us on Sundays.
Wow.
She was a home lady. She never did go out. Never did. Not ballroom woman. She just was a mother. You know, some families would go up and not home. She would make ice cream, have all the children in there, no matter what kid was around there. No child was put out to do it. Whatever she had, the little bit she had, she divided. Everybody got a piece of the pie. That's what I always remember. My mom, and I smile. Smile go a long ways. That's why I smile.
Do you look like your mother?
The slender face. A little bit. I'm more my father, the more complexion. My mother was a lady of all complexion. But she had thick, thick hair, a big twist here. Then a big twist there, and she wore antique earrings all the time. Gold antique earrings. I could remember that good, too. I had those earrings. And by growing up moving, I lost them in Chicago.
Mm,
536 East 46th Place between St. Lawrence. Going to a store called Marshall Field. Remember Marshall Field?
I lived on the street from there, yeah.
All right. My uncle, he was the janitor of the University of Chicago.
High Park.
I thought that wasn't too far on the south side. I lived there about 4 years, then I came back. I was born here in New Orleans.
Why do you think you came back? What is it that you love so much about New Orleans?
Because I was born here. New Orleans is a place, honey, we reach out to you. Chicago, New York, or whatever it is, the people are different from the south. You can live next door. They'll look at you. They'll come watch your house. Windows is open. People away from here, they'll walk over you. Unless you go out there and smile and keep smiling, then they'll say, oh, she caught the disease. My father used to say, oh, you went out there and let them catch the disease. Eh? I'm smiling. I smile go a long way. And Chicago, New York, my husband was a merchant marine. And that's how it is. No place like New Orleans. This is a place they reach out to. No matter where you go, you never go home and not in New Orleans. Never. Not in New Orleans. You can take anybody out here. You may not take everybody in your house to live, but you will reach out and give them something to eat. Because you never know who's who. The nicest thing look nice is not nice. So you have to be careful. That's what it's all about. Everybody loves New Orleans. They say, way down yonder in New Orleans, this is the best place you've ever seen. All right. Oh, yes.
And tell us about one of your fondest memories. Growing up in New Orleans.
My memory is going to school, Corpus Christi School, and the sisters would always look around and smile and say, "Oh, there she is, jiggling, 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 jiggling." I was like that. She said, "Why you can't keep still?" And this is the God's truth, and all that's the truth. I said, "Because I love people to keep smiling." They say, "When you're quiet, you're sick." Sister Virginia. She looked at me and laughed. She said, "You'll always make it through the world because you keep on going. You keep on smiling." I used to make her smile. You know how to nunza.
Yeah.
Oh, hon. You know how to nunza. You're serious? And I looked. She said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Oh, he's shaking a fly off. Shaking a devil off." I learned that from the priest. When things is going wrong, you have a sad day or something, Lord, take you. You shake the devil off. That's what it's all about.
Now, we know New Orleans is known for its expressions, and shaking the devil off seems like one of them.
Italian people.
Okay.
Italians do that, too, you know. They reach out to you.
Okay.
Italians are similar to the New Orleans people. You know, they have that reach out. When they talk with their hand. That's Creole. And Italian does the same thing. They talk with their hands. And I've learned that a long time through my husband. You know, traveling, you bring Italian people home and they talk with their hands.
Was he Italian?
No, but he communicated with people, merchant marines. You mix with all kinds. I mix with people where I work at, Brenner. That's why they say, "Well, what you know?" I say, "I communicate with you from all over the world. You learn from these people. You look. You listen, let them talk, observe. Then you ask questions. And that's what it's all about. You learn from your tourist people. Like I always told them, I may not know it all, but I know some. I'm not the smartest, but I'm not the dumbest." And that's what it's all about. And you see this church here?
Yes.
That church was known for years from the nuns. The St. Mary's Academy, you know, back then when they had the old nuns. Well, that church used to be a white church. And then they saw it years ago bringing people in there. They used to have a school in the back of there for white. Then years after, they started taking people into that church, three pews. Then they started seeing that, well, everybody's normal. Why push other people out? The doors is open. God said, let everybody come in. Not just you. It's not the color, it's you. You know about Louis Armstrong?
Yeah.
You know where Louis Armstrong first came?
He was born in New Orleans.
He was born in New Orleans on Padilla and Roman.
Okay.
His house is right there in that park. When he was a little boy, I know two men, I was a little girl, in a millionaire boy's home. He was not a bad boy. His mother kept him from the bad children. And that's where he learned how to play his horn. And when he learned about his first horn, he played at Preservation Hall. And from then on, that's when he started playing all over. Every anniversary, you see that church there? August the 3rd, the mass is there, and there's a second line parade for Louis Armstrong.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else you
want to
know?
I want to ask you about your mother. You said you were Creole.
Yes. Well, my mother was mixed with Indian. And my grandfather was an old Creole man. But I knew more about my mother than I knew about my grandfather. See, we mixed. And in French, you know, Creole people mixed too. Well, that's why they know her. You know, the people where I work say, oh, the most prettiest people is the Creoles. Oh, the people smile. But I tell you one thing about Indian people. Have you ever noticed about an Indian person? They're serious all the time. They look like they're angry all the time. They keep a smile. And then they do this. That's the God's truth. You think that these people is mean. They're not mean. That's their look. Indian people have that look. They have that look.
Why do you think they say Creole people are the prettiest people?
We mix colors and we smile all the time. That's why. We always reach out to people, no matter what we have. We don't have to have the meal use. We have to smile. We reach out. We're always willing to help somebody. Anybody, us, we like that. The poorest of people is the one that reach out to you. I work in a place and I move.
Can you know any Creole expressions or songs or dances?
Oh, that Indians know more about that. The Indians can, that song that they sing, I'll just be dancing with the Indians, you know, but the songs, two-way back away, home down there, two-way back away, home down there, I know that part.
Can we see you dance to it?
Huh?
Can
I can't dance.
No. Okay.
I can't dance.
Okay.
I just be shaking down, like you pick up your feet. You know, it's going like this. Like one, two steps, something like Turkey House when they used to do that dance in Chicago. They used to have a dance called a Turkey House.
Oh, yeah.
You ever heard that before?
I've heard of it.
That's right. That's the one, two, up and down, one, two, up and down. That's a Turkey House in Chicago. And that's years ago, honey.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us about some other special features of the Creole culture?
Most Creoles is run around in this area, the Trimé area.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the Creoles came from out this area. All around in this area is Creoles. They started from the river, came all around in this area. That's where they had the Africans, some of the Indians, and right over there is where they started building up. And they went down there, they used to go beat the drums. And the Indians started here. This was Indian land. You know that, and this was Indian land. But the African people started from down here, where he's known as the unknown slaves, right there in that yard, right on the side. That's why the grave is right on the side. You saw the grave on the side of the church? Y'all didn't see the grave?
No.
Right on the side of the church is the Indian grave. Y'all didn't see the grave?
No.
Well, you know, they used to have the white people would come and dig holes. They would come and dig holes. See if they find a little glass or a little bead or anything in that churchyard. And then they stop it. They would bring it somewhere to put it in a museum, you know. So they stop them from doing that. But they still go and take people from France, England, Germany. They come in big buses. And they come here and they take pictures and interview that church all the time. And even right behind that, the back, that's where all the Indian stuff is, right back in there. You been there before?
Yes, ma'am.
The Back Street Museum. Mm-hmm. And if that man was there, he could tell you a lot, too. But I was born in the 7th Ward. My father was born before he met my mother, 11:30. Then he came to the 7th Ward, and he met my mother. And here I'm in the same block.
Wow.
The people, the Creole people is nice people. And then you find some other ones as nice too. But you got to keep with that smile. You can go anywhere with a smile. A smile goes a long ways, honey. Because I go to my job 10 blocks. I go out around there, that area to that corner, and when I hear the music in the second line, I'm getting there shaking the devil on, going down Earl Street to the Back Street Museum, turn around, go over to Brennan's. You ever heard of Brennan's restaurant? Real famous breakfast at Brennan's. I'm on all of, I had movies. I was in a movie.
Oh, what movie?
Lots of movies. Years ago, almost, Cherie, that was in 1972. He looked at everybody and said, you, I want you to come and stand with me right by the court building. And look down at me. And like, he made that movie with, the movie of, The Hungry Girl, Arabian Nights. You ever heard of that movie? Well, it was a little commercial he was trying to move. You know, they play across by the court building. And I went out there and he said, come on, what you going to do? He said, leave me alone, man. I get up and pay him. He said, you got it. He paid me. And the last time I saw that man, it was in 1984. I don't know if he's living or not, but when he did come, he was right here. He was a good-looking man. He went back to Egypt. Went back to Egypt. But you know something else? You see this street here? You want to know something about the city, huh? You see this street down here? That's Governor Nichols Street. The nuns started at Charters. It was the Ursuline nuns. They call them the Ursuline. You heard of the Ursuline nuns? Well, that was Hospital Street this way. They changed it. They changed this to Governor Nicholas. And well, I can always remember that. Now, another thing you want to know something about. Claremont Street, the street cars used to run Canal Street. All right there. Back in the 30s and the 40s, street cars would come down Claiborne, turn at Claiborne, Ursuline, go up this street, Ursuline, through the French Quarters to Rail Street, and go up to Canal Street, then they could turn again. Now that's a change. Then the streetcar would go St. Claude Street there. That's Rampart. Go up Rampart to Canal, come back down, go down to the Industrial Canal. That was another thing they used to do. Anything else you would like?
Could you tell us about the Civil Rights Movement in New Orleans?
Civil Rights was in, 1968 when this man was dead, when they killed that man, what his name was? Coretta King? Yeah, that was in Memphis when they killed him. Mm-hmm. Now, about Civil Rights, a lot of the men used to go down in the night ward. They used to have a little gangs, you know, talking about the Civil Rights. There was one man that went all the way with the Civil Rights, and he's not here. What they used to call him, Tambourine and Fan, that the man is. He was the man, he went all the way up with Civil Rights. And if he comes around here all the time, that's a man he would have liked to talk to. Because he would come all the time. How long y'all are being? Because it's a place over. You know that hall they have there on St. Philip Street? Y'all know nothing about the halls on St. Philip Street?
What are they?
That's where they have the Nord, they play ball and so on there. Well, Tambourine and Fan is the man. He went all the way with the Civil Rights. He went all the way with the Civil Rights. Tambourine and Fan. That's the name of that place over there. It's right on St. Philip and Dillery.
I think he wants to.
Who are you with? Oh, she called you up,
huh? I heard
you were. I said, Mom. So what? She must be the rest of their mother right there. You knew her before?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no? Hello. They interviewed me from Spelman College.
Oh, wonderful.
Oh, wow, you couldn't pick a better subject.
How you feeling?
I got to get operated on for my eyes. Cataract.
When did you find that
out? Today. I tell you, I've been suffering my eyes and things like that. Yeah, and I have to, June the 3rd.
That's my birthday.
Oh, Lord. Well,
we're going to have to party today.
I don't have to go to the doctor 3 days. June the 2nd, the 3rd, and the 4th. So my daughter, she'll be home to go with me. And then I have to go back June 11th to Seattle.
To get a check.
Okay,
June. Will you need anything?
I can't see too good. I'm going to talk to you later. Yeah.
All right. I'll come by tomorrow.
Okay.
All right, you working tomorrow?
In the evening. Oh, I got to go to that child wedding. Not the wedding, there is. What do they call that place, Tamarine and Fan? I'm trying to tell them about what they call our friend. He takes charge of it.
Robert Jerome.
Now, he's the man really can tell you about. Oh, he went with the Civil Rights.
Oh, yeah.
You see, he's the one If he was here, he could tell you a lot of about it.
He sure did.
Okay. Yes, okay. He did. If he wouldn't be here, he could tell you everything about it.
And you might catch him over there. Like, usually there till about 9 o'clock, he said.
But they see that, how long you all will be here?
Until Sunday.
Until Sunday? I don't know where he might be.
He might be at the center. He's been there during the week until like about 9. He's been,
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
But they don't know anything about that. But if they knew how to get there, you know, Bryson know the phone number. Would you all excuse me? My son can give you all the phone number.
It's okay. We want your story about
it. All right, darling.
Okay. We want your story. All right. Your story is interesting anyway.
All right.
I'll see you later.
All right.
Bye. Nice seeing you.
Ms. Marion, how did you come to live here in this house with your daughter living next door to you?
First, I was living here. Mm-hmm. Then, we sold a house where she was living in a nightclub. And the landlord knew me. He said, why not? You've been here for all these years. That's her house. So she didn't have to look around. Mm-hmm. And it's good she's there, because half of the time I be feeling bad. You need a dog around. Mm-hmm. And she was lucky to get a place next to me.
Is that your only daughter? Your only child?
No, I have a son over there.
Okay.
My children, I had another son. It's 10 years that he's dead. He came from Detroit to see a friend that died here. And right on the corner of St. Philip and Claiborne, he was crossing. He wasn't crossing. The car torn, hit him up in the air, and he rolled over and died. He would be 61 years old. My daughter, she'll be 60, 14 months apart. Now, the one over there, he's 53. I'll be 82 July
7th. Wow.
And the one, my son's daughter, lives in Detroit. She's going to be a pediatrician. Mercy.
You must be proud.
Yes.
So proud.
Mercy Hospital in Detroit. Right now, she would be 37 years old. Right now. That's where she's at, Mercy. Now, he had only one daughter, and my son, he had three. Two were killed accidentally, the two little boys. And then his oldest son, he's living.
He must be gone.
So he's 30 years old. My daughter did have two sons. One be 40, June the 2nd. Then her other boy, 33, he's May the 23rd. So her son's is grown.
Miss Marion, tell us a little bit about how you met your husband.
Well, I was young, going to dances, and he went to the service. Well, we fell in love. I was liking young Jillian. Mm-hmm. We used to ride him all the time, and then he became a merchant. So, he come back, he looked, he said, we don't get married. I said, I'm not ready to get married. I ain't through shaking and having my fun. He said, no, it's the God's truth. So we got married. We live a good life. He died. I'm a widow. But I love people. I have friends all over the world, but I'm only a widow. I'm more than a children.
Can you talk a little bit more? I'm familiar with the dances that you used to go on. Can you talk a little bit about going to the dances and meeting people there when you were younger?
I would meet all kinds of people, nice people that work every day. And every Sunday we get ready, y'all go to the dance, dress up. Going to Jitterbug. I want a Jitterbug prize on a lake prize.
Oh, wow.
I was 17 years old, and I want a Jitterbug prize. A gentleman called Spot, he used to jiggle all the time. So the man said, y'all dance so good, come on a lake prize. You know, they would give you a prize. The one did the best Jitterbug win the $25. That was plenty of money. Mm-hmm. Him and I would go out there and Jitterbug, and then we won the prize. Then I was a mingle. I'm a mingle. I mingle with everybody, laugh and talk with everybody. You see, when men's was in the service, I would write to them. They would send me stamps and letters. Make sure envelopes that I can, you know, write to them. You know what my aunt would tell me? Everybody loves you because there's no soldier out there sad because you always give them a little nice little, you know, write to them. Because when people is in the service and they had no girlfriend or nothing like that, they were all my friends. Why not? You know, my husband used to say that all the time. There go Miss Lucky, Miss Personality. I say that's right. I'll go a long way. Everybody needs somebody. And that's what life is all about. Keep a smile on your face. And I'm still like that.
We stay
like that.
And you're just so beautiful. Your spirit is radiant.
All in gray, but I'm still happy, honey.
Yeah.
Every day I meet people from all over the world, and they send me letters. When I lost my children and grandchildren, I had calls for them from people Australia, England. Meet these people all over. 38 years I worked for Brenner's Restaurant. And you meet people from all over the world. They never forget you, but I never did forget them. Birthday, I sent a birthday card. Christmas card. The Mardi Gras bees, I sent them the Mardi Gras bees. If they can give you one night, you can't give them something. Appreciate. And they'll do it there too. They wait for the bees around corner for time. They know who's getting the bees in the birthday card. That's what it's all about, being nice. That's what it's all about. Anything else I would like to know?
Well, is there any more advice you would give to young people in our generation? You shared so much of your wisdom. Is there anything
else? Go out there and be nice. Reach out to people. Watch who you're with. Never get out your neighborhood too far because you never know who's who. Everything look good is not good. Everything dress up good is not good. Be yourself and watch who you're with. You know, look, when they're talking, look, observe, because you can almost judge a person yourself. You know, you don't need a teacher all the time. I didn't need a teacher in Brennan. I look, observe, they ask questions, I ask questions. You know, if you look at somebody, they're dressed up and there's so much of money and all that stuff. No. Where the money came from? You got to be careful who you're with. I'd rather be with somebody that doesn't have nothing than you give me a piece of bread, I give you a glass of water. You'd rather be with them than to be with that one that's dressed up all the time in the diamonds and the earrings. Where they got it from? Be yourself. Watch them. You watch yourself who you're with. That's what it's all about. I tell my children, I'm just an old regular person. I look around, I observe. I look at them head to toe. I say, well, kid, you're going to, all I can tell you, good things be kept. That's all.
Ms. Mary, what changes have you seen in the city since Katrina?
Oh, I was in the floods, honey. I lost a brother, and then I lost another brother. They died October 15th after this. They never get well. The water was around here. The priest stood up in that church way up on the steeple. They took me. I was sick. My daughter had me in high water like this, going to the convention center. I took sick. Then when I went to this place in San Antonio, Texas, the doctors took care of me good. My legs was black. I had like insects had been bitten, you know, in the water. I was so sick. I stood out there. We stood out there from August the 29th. I came back December the 1st. December the 1st when we came back. And when I think of that, I think about a lot of things, honey. You saw dead people out there by that convention center. They covered them up. They had a little girl. She went upstairs. They took and cut her head off, put in a refrigerator. You see people sick dying, all they're doing is walking over by that convention center, they're taking a sheet cover.
How did that make you feel to see all that?
My mind never was right, honey. It looked like everything, you know, you stare, you never be the same. You have seen so much. I look, I say, Lord, have mercy, I want to go home, but you're going to take care of me. I didn't worry about the hell, I would just push it up. Look what my daughter said, Mom, I'm talking to you, not even answering. Honey, what you've been through, I've been through Betsy, that was another one. I've been through Camille, that was water. Betsy was water. So I've been through three bad floods. And I can tell you that it's how I survived.
Well, you did survive. What would you say makes you so strong?
Pray. That's the number one. Pray. Yes. Pray to God. Say, God, whatever be, it has to be. You never give up, though. Because if he wants you, honey, he can take me right in front of y'all right now. You can look at me and close your eyes and fall, and that's it. But prayers help. You know, when my children, the grandchildren died, my brother died, I said, well, the Lord had a number for them. We on borrowed time. And we on borrowed time. Money's not everything. When he say your number is up, it's up. And it's not always the sickest, because I've seen people look and fall in the back of the chair by my work. And when they took them out, they said, you know, they were dead. Why? Because if their number was up. We all on borrowed time. Can't stop that one.
As we've been, you know, traveling through New Orleans and speaking with people, one of the things that's come up again and again is that they believe that the levees were actually blown up.
Let me tell you something. I do believe the levees. You see, when they had Betsy, that was living by the industrial canal. I was laying down. My boy, 53 years old. He was a little boy. He was about 6, 7. The one over there. And, oh, Lord, boom, boom, my husband said, ooh, they bust the levee. Boom, they did bust that levee, but they won't say. They bust that levee. Then again, you see for this one here, they bust the levee again. You can hear that boom, boom, down in that little line, but they bust the levee. They tell you the name.
What do you think they did?
You know, you can't say everything to put in the paper, you know. Y'all don't put that in no television. Course, man. No. Y'all don't put it. They did it when most of the Negroes was. That's the truth. See, around here, all these used to be white. Colored people. There's plenty of colored people around here, too, and around here. The white folks move out because the colored people was coming back to their houses. But they did that around the black. Look at the lower night wall. They will show you anything about the lower night wall? Oh, honey. The lower night wall will never be the same. And a lot of colored people live. Even down San Manoa, all the way down the country. But they bust the levee. They did bust the levee. No one can tell you that, but that's the truth. They won't say that because you know they won't try to sue you. But, honey, if you hear something with your ears and your husband, too, my worked on the river, too. They bust the levee. They did it. They busted twice. For Betsy and for this. For Trina. They bust those levees.
I heard you say you thought that they bust them because of the Negroes.
Yeah, but so don't put that on people. No.
I want to ask you, even though you're Creole, do you consider yourself black still?
I am black.
Okay.
Well, yes, all the way out there, I am black.
Okay.
You know what the white folks told us? The most prettiest people is in the Negroes. Because we have different colors. And we keep with a smile, we're not them. They fade away. Well, we'll put that in. Because the white folks always come talk to me. They say, why y'all look so good? Why y'all skin so nice and smooth? Why y'all always with a smile? Y'all don't have no bumps, no wrinkles. You ever saw a black person with all the wrinkles? A white person can be so young. And they look old. They can be 25 years old, 30 years old, they're going to look way older than you. And then they like all that old heavy makeup and all that stuff, but they wouldn't put it. They look old. Then another thing I'm going to tell you, but don't put this in the papers. They keep so old, honey. If they can put perfume, they still have that muscle. They do. Yes, they do. I work around these people, honey. I know they do. See us, we plain people. We don't have what they have. They have like a muskie or like a rat or something. They have that old odor. Well, white folks does have an odor. I don't care how much perfume they put on, but they have that odor.
They do.
Have you had any experiences with your other Creole family members and friends with Passan Blanc?
The Passan Blanc is more lighter because of, you know why they say Passan Blanc? They're more lighter, mixed with more lighter people. That's why they call them Passan Blanc. They used to look at me and say Passan Blanc. I said, no, I'm a regular Creole. You see, they give you all kinds of names on it. Passan Blanc is where you used to confine like the light-skinned people. They would be mostly with the light-skinned people. They had a place called the Autocrat. When they went to the dances, there you find more light-skinned people, the autocrat. They laugh and talk, but certain people they like to be with their own colors. Me, I went with blue, black, grizzly, green, red, as long as I'm happy. Mm-hmm. And that's what it's all about, being nice to people. That's the way some of the Creole people live. They live like that, but not anymore. Since the walls came out, everybody need each other. Mm-hmm. That used to be, that's bygone. See, you can't live off of looks. You need somebody. See, when all this storm and Katrina and all these Bexes and Audrey and Flossie came, people start changing. They start changing. Excuse me.
Can you tell us about the brown bag test?
The brown bags?
Yes, ma'am.
You mean like giving groceries to
The brown paper bag test would, like, for certain organizations. We were reading and doing our research.
Different organizations.
Mm-hmm, that would hold the brown bag to you. And if you weren't lighter than the brown bag, then you couldn't be a part of it.
I didn't know that. As long as I've been here, be 72 years old. I'll tell you one thing, is a lot of times they would tell you, well, no, I don't think I need you. I could take her. You're picking their colors, you know. Like if you want to go somewhere and be with them or something, oh, no, not right. We'll let you know later on. Yeah. Well, a brown bag, a brown bag is a brown bag, but I've heard about a brown bag before. Mm-hmm. But people were like that. They have their own people they want to be with. But like I said, you my friend, we all together. Be having a good time. I'm not about to pick. I might pick the wrong one, but pick it. It's nice to be nice.
Well, thank you so much for your time.
Anything
really
else y'all would like to ask me?
Is there anything else you want to tell us?
Mm-hmm. Well, around here, the people live nice. And see the right there by this back street. What y'all went in there today?
Mm-hmm.
You learn a lot about the back street. Mm-hmm. Well, at the Armstrong Park, you know about the Armstrong Park?
Yes, the Louis
Armstrong.
Yeah,
and I told you about Armstrong. Mm-hmm. All the people around here is nice. And I grew up, went to school. All people around here I love to be with. Different history. Old folks sit down and tell you different things, you know, about their life and about... When I was coming up, I didn't have electricity. We had an old wood stove. We had lamps. But we survived. We didn't have everything we want. You can go, honey, to a little store and buy a pair of tennis for 99 cents. That's right, they call the store Johnny Hackman. You survive. You live better yesterday than you live today, because the living is too high. And as of today, I still go to Salvation Army. Go buy my clothes right over there.
Yes. You look nice.
I still go buy clothes. Salvation. You would be surprised what you get. The tags, shoes. See, I wear my uniform, my white uniforms. Oh, the Salvation Army. Pants cost me $2. I might pay $1.50 for the blouse. I could take $20 and buy four. That lasts me for 2 years or 3 years. Keep them nice, drip them. Who knows? You got a $56 outfit, a uniform. Look upon me. I go to Salvation Army. I'm as white as you. Because I'm going to keep it nice and clean. Keep my shoes clean. Go get a pair of tennis over there for $1.50. You know the white tennis? Come on. Wash them with alcohol rub. Soap. Put them out in the sun. Polish them. Buy some new shoestrings. You might have the $50 uniform on. And now look at me. The cheapest thing going. But you're not as white as me. We both clean. Oh, yes.
Miss Marion, we have certainly enjoyed listening to your stories and all the wisdom that you shared with us today. Thank you so much.
Oh, well, I know it's a lot of work and find out to tell you all.
Thank you. You shared really so much.
You've given us more than enough. You really have.
Well, as I say, I'm an old lady, honey, and I'm going to be myself and what I am, and I'm still reaching out to people and still like the priest says, shake the devil.
And you surely shake
and
the devil.
And I shall go along. Always remember, if someone is hating you or want to do you something, you know something, this is nothing but the devil. Shake him off. God takes care of you. And that's what life is all about.
Thank you so much. You have a hug. We're going to take your smile.